Today is what much of the religious world refer to as Easter Sunday. If you've read the bulletin, you know, and probably knew before you read the bulletin this morning, that you'll not find the celebration of Easter written within the Word of God. It's simply not there. It is a man-made tradition. And God certainly never commanded churches to practice such a thing as Easter. Nor did God authorize such a thing for the local church. And so I encourage you to read the bulletin, read the articles in the bulletin to get more information on that. If you have any questions about that, again, I gladly sit down and discuss those things with you. Now, those were marvelous words spoken by the angels in Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, those were precious words spoken by the Lord in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, those were powerful words spoken by the Lord himself in John 11:43 when he said, Lazarus, come forth. But perhaps the grandest words ever found on the pages of inspiration are recorded about Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 16, verse 6. He is risen. This morning I want us to speak for a few moments about the resurrection of Christ. Now the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is devoted to the resurrection. And much of that is a discussion about the resurrection of Christ. Paul is addressing religious error that was being taught by some evidently, that there's no such thing as the resurrection. Perhaps influenced by some Sadducees who had converted to Christianity, and or some who were converted from some of the pagan religions of that day, who also denied the entire concept of the resurrection. Whatever the source was, those who believed the resurrection were foolish ones, or so Paul called them, in the midst of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They couldn't understand how it was going to occur. With what body do they come? Paul said, foolish ones. And so it's foolish to deny the future resurrection of the saints. And Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that if you're going to be consistent, and if you're going to deny the future resurrection of the saints, you're going to have to deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not risen. And as he is asking and answering that question, he begins to deal with some of the consequences of denying the resurrection of Christ. And that brings us to our primary text this morning, 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 17. Paul says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. From these verses in discussing the resurrection of Christ, I want to suggest to you three things. Number one, Christ's resurrection is the basis of our faith. It is the very basis of our faith. Look at what Paul says here in verse 17, 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, or futile, as some would say. It's worthless, it's vain, it's no good. Go on to verses 1 to 4 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. So the gospel is that in which they stand. Take away the gospel and they fall. Well, what is the basis of this gospel? Paul goes on to say here, verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That's the very basis of the gospel. Without the resurrection, you lose your entire platform and you fall spiritually. Your faith is based upon nothing. It's based upon a myth. It's based upon a lie. It's based upon a tale. And so Paul says, if Christ is not risen, if the resurrection of Christ is not a reality, your faith is futile. The resurrection is the very basis of your faith. And Paul, in the verses there following, verses 4 to 11, mentions all those who witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ after he had resurrected from the dead. And so the resurrection is real. Back in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9. Romans chapter 6 verses 8 and 9. The apostle Paul says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. This is something that we know, he says. Verse 8, this is something that we believe. We must have the resurrection. That is the very central point of our Christianity. It's the very central point of our faith. Without the resurrection, everything else falls. Hope is the anchor of our soul, but the resurrection is the anchor of our hope. 1 Corinthians 15 again, beginning in verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. See that? Without Christ being risen, your faith is empty. And yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. And so if the dead do not rise, if those in Christ are not one day to be resurrected from the grave, then Christ is not risen. You deny the resurrection, you don't get to be picky. If you're denying the future resurrection of the saints, you have to deny the resurrection of Christ. And when you do that, you've denied our faith. Because faith, the resurrection is the basis of our faith. Number two, not only is the resurrection the basis of our faith, but the resurrection is the basis of our forgiveness. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at the latter part of verse 17. Paul says, and if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Did you know that without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we could not have forgiveness of sins? Paul said it right here. If Christ is not risen, you are still in your sins. You cannot have newness of life without his resurrection. Go back again, if you would please, to Romans chapter 6, and let's begin reading in verse 1. Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, there's the resurrection, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We can't have newness of life if Christ is not raised from the dead, because our newness of life, according to Paul, is based upon Christ being raised from the dead. And so if Christ is not risen, we have no forgiveness of sins. Now it's the shed precious blood of Jesus Christ that washes away our sins. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, 17 and 18 that we have been redeemed by his precious blood, not with silver or gold, but by his precious blood. In Revelation 1, 5, we're told that he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 tells us we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's a song we sing sometimes that says, there is power in the blood. Another song asks the question, what can wash away my sins? And then it gives the answer, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is no sin, no great, that the blood of Jesus cannot remove it. But Jesus' blood would have no power, it would have no efficacy, it could not wash away our sins if Jesus had not risen from that grave. If that large stone, Mark tells us it was very large, if that large stone had not been moved away from that sepulcher, Jesus could never have risen. And we could have never had forgiveness of our sin. Paul said, if he is not risen, you are still in your sins. Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 24. The Apostle Paul said, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. And so you see, our justification from sins is based upon the fact that Jesus was raised. He continues, verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all possible because God raised him from the dead. Raised him from the grave. And so the resurrection is key. Christ's resurrection is the very basis of our faith. It is the very basis of our forgiveness. And it is the basis of our future. It's the basis of our future. Go back to our passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice this time, verses 18 and 19. Now Paul is still talking about this idea that Christ is not risen. And he says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they've died as Christians. What about them? They have perished. That is, if Christ is not risen, they have perished. And then he says this in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Is this the only place that we have hope? Let me tell you something. Christ brings a great quality to our lives here on earth. He gives us relief from the burden of the guilt that we carry around because of our sins. If we serve Him, He has promised to hear our prayers. He has promised to give us confidence. He has promised to give us peace, one that passes all understanding. He has promised to give us a life filled with hope, even in the most desperate of situations in this earthly life. Jesus gives us life, even abundant life, right here on this earth. But if that's all we have, if there's no hope beyond the darkness of the grave, if our final destiny is nothing more than a 6-foot hole in the ground, Paul said folks ought to just feel sorry for us more than they ought to feel sorry for anybody else because we're just a bunch of fools. If Christ is not risen, Christ is risen. I recommend to you the tract that Jason has been recommended all week. There are also other writings that you can read. But it's amazing to read about men. They've not fully come to the truth, the full truth of the gospel. I realize that. They're caught up now in other religious errors. But a man by the name of Lee Strobel was an investigative reporter and a skeptic. He didn't believe in God. And he decided to apply his secular skills, his investigative reporting skills, to an investigation of the history of this Jesus and his resurrection. And after doing so and looking at all of the evidence, he came to believe in Jesus. A man by the name of Josh McDowell did the same thing almost on a dare many years ago when he was a young man. Went out and even traveled the world looking for all of the evidence outside of Scripture that would show that Jesus lived and that Jesus died and that Jesus rose again. Based upon his investigation, he became a believer in Jesus Christ. There's a book called The Historical Jesus, A Scholarly View of the Man and His World. It was edited by a man named Gallia Kornfeld, a Jew, one who denied Christ as the Son of God. And yet this Kornfeld made these observations in the book. He made an observation about the fact that Jesus was a man and not a myth. Here's what he said. Modern archaeology and scholarship have now established beyond doubt that a man known as Jesus certainly did exist in history and that the criticism of the skeptics who denied his existence was ill-founded. Drawing on our knowledge of the authentic contemporary milieu, as well as the written records, we are today able to assert beyond a shadow of a doubt that the historical Jesus existed. No doubt he refers to the many contemporary heathen writings of Jesus' day that made reference to this Christus or Christus in one writing. It was Jesus. Now look what the man, the Jew, says about the fact that he died on a Roman cross. He said it was on a secular accusation that he was condemned by Pilate to die shamefully on the Roman cross. He made comments about the fact that Jesus was buried. Others have commented on the fact that we know more about the burial of Jesus than we do about any other historical figure that has died. This man also commented on the fact that the tomb was guarded by a Jewish temple guard. And then he made comments on the fact that 3 days later the tomb was empty. This is what he said. Important historical evidence, quite apart from the Gospels, can be assembled to show that the tomb, at any rate, was empty on Easter morning. Now there are people who say, well, he didn't really die. That's the swoon theory. They just thought he was dead. The man was dead. Jesus died on the cross. He was in the tomb for 3 days. A tomb that was covered by a large stone that he himself could not have moved unless he was indeed the Son of God. The story circulating in the Bible was a lie told by the guards that his disciples have come and stolen away his body. Let me tell you something, a body is not easy to hide. It's not today, it wasn't easy back then either. We have the evidence of the witnesses. These disciples of his, they thought that he was defeated when he got put on the cross. Something went wrong. That's defeat. What did they do? Just like Jesus said they would do based on prophecy. Strike the shepherd and the sheep. And so when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied him, Judas betrayed him, all the disciples really ran away from him. Why would they then go back and try to get his body and hide it and spend the rest of their lives putting their life on the line for a lie? Let me tell you something, men don't die for a lie. And what of those who refuted their teaching? They arrested them on a couple of occasions, beat them, said, do not preach in this name anymore. Don't preach the resurrection of Jesus Christ anymore. Why didn't they just go get the body and silence them once for all? Because Jesus had ascended into the heavens. He is risen, and this affects our very future. If he's not risen, then our faith is vain, our sin are not really forgiven, and we're making all these sacrifices for nothing. Well, just live it up, eat, drink, and be merry, Paul says. Jesus himself said in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. How glorious the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, as he reiterates what Mark said in the account in Mark 16 and what Matthew said in his account. Paul says there, but now Christ is risen. He is risen. He is risen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 17, Paul mentions here in Romans 15, 18 about those who have fallen asleep or died in Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he goes into some detail about what's going to come of those who have died as faithful Christians. And he says in verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you see again, this is hinged on the resurrection of Jesus. If we believe that he died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. And so our future resurrection is based upon Jesus' future resurrection. And he talks about how they will rise from the grave. Combine that with 1 Corinthians 15, and you see how those still living when the Lord returns will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We will join together with those saints who have been resurrected, and we'll all go up together into the air to meet the Lord in the air, and forever we'll be with the Lord. That's our future. And our resurrection is impossible if Christ is not risen. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 23. Paul said, "But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming." Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection. Verses 50 to 57 talks about how flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we must be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when the Lord returns. And this corruptible will put on incorruptibility. This mortal will put on immortality. And death will be swallowed up in victory. When did Jesus conquer it? What made it possible? He had to rise from death himself. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1 and notice verses 20 and 21 where Peter says, "He indeed," this is talking about Jesus indeed, "was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory," watch this, "so that your faith and hope are in God." Now when you start talking about faith, when you begin to speak of hope, you're talking about our future. Our hope of heaven. That's in God through Christ because God raised him from the dead. See how it's based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Back in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope." What's that living hope? It's our hope of eternal life in heaven. Now watch, Peter says, "through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That hope, the hope of our future in heaven, again, is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There are so many passages that say similar things. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." Again, our future resurrection is based upon God raising up the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul says, "Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." Ephesians chapter 1 verses 19 and 20 also mentions the great power with which God has raised up the Lord Jesus Christ and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Our very future depends upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see how important the resurrection of our Lord is? Matthew chapter 28 verse 6 is Matthew's version of what we read earlier in Mark chapter 16. In Matthew 28 6, the man said, "He is risen as he said." Jesus said he would rise. Jesus said in John 2 verse 19, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days." Now his listeners misunderstood, but we're told in the text there a couple of verses later that Jesus was speaking of his body. He was talking about his resurrection. And so as he said, he is risen. And oh, how thankful we should be for that. He is risen. Paul said, but he is risen. And so our faith is not vain. Our forgiveness is real, and our future is bright. Christ's resurrection is the very basis of our faith, the very basis of our forgiveness, and the very basis of our future. Let's pray.